Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Key Studios. Final hour of the program means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. For some reason, this song was stuck in my head. And as Chuck always gets the first request, little Samantha sang with Emotions. 1978, I believe. This was in that stretch where the Bee Gees wrote every song that went to, like, the top five. Like, they wrote all their own stuff. They wrote all the Annie Gibbs stuff. This song, Grease, Barbara Streisand. Yeah, everything they were writing was like ended up as a top five song, it seemed like, during this stretch. So for some reason, I had this song just kind of stuck in my head. We do ask you to download the Odyssey.com app, as we know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station and the show. How do you do it? Best way is through the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today, right? Take the smartphone, the Alexa speakers, tablet, boombox, Laserdisc, 8-track, whatever your device is, just put it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So it's the best way to be a part of the show. Follow us on our personal Twitter handles, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there producing the show. On the other side of the glass, as always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90. You know, I said to Jarvis a little bit ago, I said, are the Braves really going to win a 1-0 baseball game? Well, they answered that question because they didn't. They lost tonight 2-1. So, several things. One is Tucker Davidson was terrific again tonight. Couldn't have asked for a better start out of him. 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. ERA is now down to 1.53. Matzik and Martin came in and did their job. Will Smith. Now, here's the funny part. That was Will Smith's first blown save of the year. I just looked at the stat line. His first blown save of the year. He's now 1-5 with a 4.74 ERA. Take that for what you will. Definitely not what we'd hope for. But it was his first blown save of the year as he gives up a two-run homer. And I was trying to see what this guy's. Luke Williams, by the way, hits the two-run homer. And let's see here. What was it, Luke Williams? No. Wasn't Luke Williams. Who was it that hit the home run? Yeah, it was Luke Williams, wasn't it? Yeah. Luke Williams hits his first home run, drove in his first 2 runs of the year. 2-for-4 with a run and 2 RBIs. He must have just gotten called up or something. He's only played 1 game, so I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who Luke Williams is. You could tell me it was Luke Skywalker. So he comes in and hits a 2-run homer, playing center field and third base, and Braves lose 2-1. Remember that whole we're going to get above 500 thing? 29-39.
Jinxed him, man. It's your fault, Chuck.
Yeah.
Said it in an interview.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Me and Gabe. Yep. You know, put him behind. Look, I said last night that I thought that the Braves caught a break because I think Philadelphia screwed up and may have, maybe not, but may have potentially cost themselves a good inning last night when I thought Harper should have tagged up on that ball in that one-run game because McCutcheon, if he tags up like he should, when you have a center, you have a ball that's hit the center field and the center field is backing up to the warning track and you're on first, you should tag up and get to second base, get in scoring position because you're in scoring position with less than two outs at that point. And McCutcheon singled. That would have scored him, and who knows what happens, you know, from there. But didn't happen, and the Braves took advantage, and they won the game. Tonight, though, yeah, unfortunately, Luke Williams hits a two-run homer and only his second game played this season. And, who just came up. He just got recalled up to Philadelphia. So, whew. Tucker Davidson, though, was terrific again. I mean, he's been lights out thus far. 0-6 now are the Braves in games where they can get above 500. So 0-6 in games where they can get above 500 to it. So yeah, this has been such a disappointing season. Whew. It's just not been what we'd hoped for. And look, they're not. Somebody's already texted me about the Braves needing a closer. They paid $33 million for Will Smith. They're not going to get another closer, folks. Unless you tell me that they're going to give Shane Green a chance to close, which did I not ask that question about 2 months ago? We had Gabe on, and I said, you know, a month ago when they signed Green, I said, hey, will he get a chance to close if they don't feel like Will Smith can get it done? Who knows? I mean, that's your only other option right now is Shane Green would close for you. I don't think they'd put Minter in that spot. But, and like I said, understand that that's Will Smith's first blown save of the year. That's the first blown save that he's had this year. Now, he's got five losses on the season, but it's his first blown save of the year, which seems like a strange number. But, and he doesn't have very many saves because the Braves haven't been in a position at times to have a lot of close games that they won. Yeah, seems like close games are usually behind in all that. But, man, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to watch this team. I say this every night when we come in here and do this, that it's frustrating to have to sit here and try to figure out what the Braves are right now. They should be so much better than this. This team has nobody. I understand all of the things. I understand the injuries, and I understand the Marcell Ozuna injury and situation with it. I understand all those things. Their talent is still too good to be below 500. If you're telling me that because they haven't had Mike Soroka and Marcell Ozuna and Christian Pache that they're 29-30, then that means Freddie and Ronnie and everybody else aren't any good. If you're telling me that that's the difference is because of those guys, why they're not a 500 team, then those guys weren't very good to start with. And it's just, I don't know. It's maddening and frustrating to watch this team play every night and find a different way. You know, we've talked about the bullpen, finds a way to lose, seems like all the time. I said, look, the Braves had their opportunities. Braves got eight hits and two walks in that game tonight. They got eight hits, two walks, and there was an error by the Phillies in that. Who, by the way, if you play first base for the Philadelphia Phillies, you should wear an Army helmet. The way those guys throw the ball around the infield, good Lord. You should either be a gymnast in DDP yoga or you should have an Army helmet on because they're bouncing balls in the dirt, throwing balls over your head. Their defense is awful. So the Braves got eight hits, an error, and two walks in the game. So one like they had didn't have base runners on tonight, and they were only capitalized on the one run. And that, by the way, came from Contreras, who went 3-for-4 with an RBI. He's been magnificent. He's got 20 RBIs in 90 plate appearances, or 90 at-bats, I should say. He's got 20 ribbies in 90 at-bats so far since he's been called up. I know his defensive limitations. We talked about that with Gabe. He's got 20 ribbies in 90 plate appearances. That's a pretty solid contribution for a guy hitting at the bottom of your order. For a guy hitting at the bottom of your order to have given you 20 RBI in 90 at-bats, extrapolate that over a 450 at-bat season. That's 100 ribbies. That'd be, if you told me your catcher in 450 at-bats had 100 RBI, anybody tell me they're not going to take that? That'd make you the best offensive catcher in baseball if you drove in. Who's the last catcher to drive in 100 runs? How about that? That's something I would like to see. Who's the last catcher to drive in 100 runs in a season? I can't even think off the top of my head. We talk about Realmuto and we talk about McCann, not Brian McCann, but the McCann from the White Sox that's with the Mets, you know, now. That was two of the best offensive catchers in baseball. When's the last time a catcher drove in 100 runs? I have to look that stat up. I may do that in the break. But Braves lose it 2-1 in frustrating fashion as Will Smith gives up the two-run homer and now fall to 29-30 on the year, 12-13 away from Truist Park. Let's see if the Mets are playing right now. Mets. Mets won 14-1 today. So the Mets won 14-1. So does that put the Braves 3.5 back, I believe? Are they three or yeah, 3.5 back. So Braves now go to 3.5 back. By the way, their run differential on the season is back to zero. So they're back to a zero run differential after tonight's game. But it's not good in Braves country, as we like to say, out of all of it. It's not been what we'd hoped for this year. And I don't want to say it's a lost season. Mets have not been all that great. Not like they've run away with the division or anything like that. But the fact that the Mets have been able, and like we said, they've played five less games than the Braves. You know, they got five less games. And some of those games they have to make up are against Washington, who's not very good. So the fact that they, by the way, Craig Kimbrel got his 15th save tonight. Just in case some of those were wondering. In case you were wondering how Craig Kimbrel's doing, he got his 15th save tonight. But anyway, not good. Braves didn't do a whole lot to offensively, obviously, with just the run tonight with Contreras, really the offensive star of this game. The fact that he was 3-for-4 with the lone RBI for this team, and he's been magnificent. But you know, Ronnie's down to 284. Freddie's down to 224. Swanson's at 234 on the season. Got some guys that just aren't getting a lot right now. You know, not compared to last year, right? You know, they got Almonte playing left field, and you know he's trying to hang in there. But you know, not great sledding right now for the Atlanta Braves. So, but they'll get back at it tomorrow. They'll wrap this series up tomorrow. Ian Anderson will be on the mound tomorrow, so they'll wrap things up in Philadelphia before they get ready to get on the road and head to Miami over the weekend, which, you know, hopefully, you know, look, take the game tomorrow, win 2 out of 3. All right, you move on, you get your 2 out of 3. Get in Miami, take 2 out of 3 there against a bad Marlins team. All right, you've done your job. By the way, it's Ian Anderson versus Zach Wheeler tomorrow night in that matchup. And I shouldn't say tomorrow night because that's a 1 o'clock game. It's Thursday's getaway day, as they call it in Major League Baseball. So 1:05 start, businessman special. So got a 1:05 start in Philadelphia. So quick turnaround off this game. So Ian Anderson and Zach Wheeler, and then we get ready for baseball this weekend. Charlie Morton will take the mound in game one on Friday. But Braves lose 2-1. Will Smith gives up a two-run homer on the walk-off, and there you go. And, you know, Braves will try to get back to 500, 0-6 now in games where when they try to get over 500, you know, when they're 500 and trying to get over that next hump, 0-6 thus far. Is anybody still calling it early, by the way? Are all the people that love to tell me about Memorial Day and all that, do we understand now that you know, this has not been good for the Atlanta Braves? If they miss the playoffs, what's the repercussions? Any? Would there be any changes if they miss the playoffs? Or they just chalk it up to, anything can happen in a year. Anything can happen in a bad year, right? They won't make any changes. I'm going to be hard-pressed to believe, too, that they're going to make any kind of if they're floating around 500 and they're not really going anywhere, I'm going to have a hard time believing that they're going to make any kind of real decent move, that they're going to make any kind of real impactful move. They may pick up another reliever or something, you know what I mean? Like some jabron or something like that to come in and help. I have a hard time believing that they're going to make any real impactful move that is going to make a big difference. Because I don't think they're going to spend a lot of capital on getting a left fielder. especially not knowing what the Marcelo Zuna situation is going to be, whether it's him personally, his contract, injury, whatever. All right. Well, when we get back, game three, Friday night. How important has this become now? We'll talk some Hawks basketball next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios. Sports right now to the game. Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios. 404-741-0929. Sign up my brother's Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app, so you catch us on the go. Social media at 92.9 The Game. At JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Appreciate one of our texters. I'd asked about, when's the last time a catcher had 100 RBI? Texter had Buster Posey with 95 in 2015. And 102 in 2012. Man, if that's right, you know, think about it. 9 years since a catcher's had 100 RBI. Could you imagine in like 1975 saying, when's a catcher going to have 100 RBI? Well, Johnny Bench does that every year. Carlton Fisk is pretty close and probably had a couple. I'm sure Carlton Fisk had a couple of 100 RBI years as well. Ted Simmons probably had a couple of 100 RBI years as well. But it's a different day, different position out of all of it. We're talking about this just because Contreras has been so good for the Braves. And, of course, Braves lose tonight, if you didn't see. Braves lose 2-1, walk-off home run. Luke Williams, who just got called up to Philadelphia in only his second game. Tucker Davidson, magnificent, but Smith gives up the home run, first blown save of the year. Now falls to 1-5, and the Braves can't get above 500, fall back to 29-30 on the season. But one team who's above 500 that will be playing that's above 500 will be the Hawks coming up on Friday as they come back home now for game three of this Eastern Conference semifinal series. Tied up at 1-1. Look, we knew last night was going to be rough sledding for the Hawks to try to pick up a win. That was must win for Philadelphia, and they played like it early on especially. And that game was 23-6 right at the very start, and that was tough. That was, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, all she wrote at that point. But now game three becomes, I think, like a lot of game threes, this really is a big swing game for both teams. Look, this is a series that the Hawks can win. Will it be easy? Will they win? I don't know. You know, I know it won't be easy. Can they win this series? Yes. Will they win this series? I don't know. But this is certainly a series that, even though it's 4-1, and even though Embiid has played and he's been magnificent in the first two games, this is a series that they can win. But this game to me goes a long way in helping to try to figure out what's going on in this series. Because, look, if the Hawks can pull this off and they go up 2-1, now you've got Philadelphia sitting around waiting till Monday to have to play and play another game here in Atlanta before getting back home on Wednesday. And now the Philadelphia 76ers are spending some time doubting themselves about whether or not they can win this thing. Because the Hawks crowd will be raucous, and it's going to be a really good environment. And we talked about Philadelphia and the fact that they were 29-7, which we said the second-best home record in the NBA this year. So the fact that the Hawks went in there and took a game from them, well, the Hawks, by the way, were 25-11 on the year. So it's not like the Hawks weren't a terrific team at home either. They were a terrific basketball team at home this year. And they've looked great at home. I hope they bring out the MLK jerseys. But if they can hold serve on Wednesday, and now you've got the 76ers reeling. I'm not telling you that they're dropping down and going right down, but certainly this puts Philadelphia with their back up against the wall. Because then for them, Monday becomes must win. They go down 3-1, you know, after Monday night's game. This series will be over at that point. 76ers, I'm not buying for 1 second, are winning three straight games and, you know, having one of those be in Atlanta. I'm not buying that. But it is fascinating to think about what this could be and how much this series changes potentially on Friday night. You know, Philadelphia comes in and they win that game. They're going to feel good about themselves, get a few days off, rest, relax. You know, Embiid gets a couple of days in between to get his knee continuing to be right and this, that, and the other. Oh, by the way, if you didn't hear the news earlier today, DeAndre Hunter will not be a part of the Hawks playoff run the rest of the season. He is out for the rest of this season, so he will not be playing as he's having surgery on his torn meniscus coming up on Tuesday, I believe it is when his torn meniscus surgery is scheduled to be done. But, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers will feel a lot better about themselves because if the 76ers win game three, all they've got to do is hold serve at home at that point. So Monday night doesn't become, I don't want to say that the 76ers aren't looking at it as must win because you want to close out the series as quickly as you can. So, you know, you get up 3-1 on the Hawks and things change up. But I will say at the same time that it doesn't become imperative that the 76ers win this game on Monday. Changes the whole dynamic of this series. Hawks are going to have to find some answers for what Tobias Harris has done, for what Seth Curry has done. They can't let those guys continue to be putting up somewhere between 40 and 50 points combined for those two. That's where the Hawks are really going to get hurt. It's not going to be Joel Embiid. We talked about Jeff Schultz's tweet last night about the Hawks have to find a way to slow down Embiid. They're not going to slow down Embiid. Joel Embiid has not been slowed down in the playoffs. He's not going to be. There's a reason why, even for a guy that missed 20-something games this year, he was the second-place guy in the MVP race. He's that good and important of a player right now in the NBA. It's not about trying to hold him down and keep him at bay. You can't let Tobias Harris, though, and Seth Curry end up with 44, 46 points combined for those two. That's where the Hawks are going to get themselves in trouble. And Steve Holman brought up a good point last night. Look, bench players are going to play better at home than they do on the road. So I'm not counting on the 76ers bench to have some of these blowout games. You just can't let two of their other starters rack up lots of points. Whether Simmons has a big game or he doesn't, whether Simmons is, you know, 4 points, 14 points, whatever it is, you let Harris and Curry start getting, you know, 44, 46, 48 points combined, that's tough sledding for the Hawks at that point. And I think John Collins will play better at home. I think the bench players, you know, again, will Kevin Huerter have the same kind of game that he did the other night where he started out 7-for-7 from the field, 3-for-3 from three? Probably not. But I expect some of those guys like Lou Williams to play a little bit better at home. I expect John Collins to play better at home. Especially, you know, if the series kind of goes the way that it did with the Knicks series. But this is big because, look, we joked about this earlier. The Knicks are trash. That was a trash team. That series turned out to be trash, and they're trash. I don't care if anybody likes that. Jahi's listening. Sorry, Jahi. I love you, Jahi, but the Knicks are trash. And so big difference about getting them down. Philadelphia is still a really good team. And if you can pick them off on Friday, maybe, just maybe, not guaranteeing it, but maybe, just maybe, you really start to put some doubt into the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And now that whole, it's the same old seven. Let me tell you, can you imagine sports talk radio in Philadelphia come Monday morning if the Hawks win on Friday? Which, by the way, is strange that they're not going to play on Sunday, but okay. But imagine the Hawks win. Imagine what sports talk radio is going to be like. It will be the you know, the same old argument. Yep, 76ers again. Same old team doing the same thing, you know, again. That doubt will start to kind of creep in, especially amongst the fans. Because I think a lot of people went into the series thinking it wouldn't be a series, and the Hawks come out and just shock the world on game one and get this thing done. And to think that the Hawks are only 3 wins away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals, sort of like hard to wrap your mind around the idea that they're that close. But look, sell out in game three and win this thing in game three. Sell out game three and win this thing. Not just sell out for the fans. I'm talking about sell out and do what you got to do. Because I think really, if you can pick this game up on Friday night and you keep holding serve at home, man, you know, hold serve at home and the series is over. But you keep up that momentum of being able to hold serve at home, I think you got the 76ers potential on the ropes. And then Monday really becomes fascinating. Then Monday really becomes fascinating because, you know, trying to get out to a 23-6 run, You ain't going to have the crowd on your side Monday. You ain't going to have the backing of the fans on Monday night. You're going to be in the opponent's building. And like I said, a place where the Hawks were one of the best home teams in the NBA at 25-11. You know, so it's going to be fascinating Friday night. Don't forget, we'll be here after the game with you on Friday night. That's a 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip with Steve Holman and Mike Connie will have the call for all of that. And I'm looking forward to it. Look, I was really hoping Hunter would try to get back on the court, but we know now he's not going to be a part of it. So their perimeter defense has got to figure it out against some of these guys. They've got to figure out how to slow down some of these guys shooting the three ball. Embiid's going to be Embiid, and he's going to get his points and do what he's got to do. But they've got to figure out a way to control some of those other guys out there. And they need John Collins to have one of those big games. I keep waiting for that real big breakout game for John Collins. I keep waiting for that one game where, you know, it's like 28-12, and he looks like one of the more dominant players on the court. And he's had some good games, and no doubt about it. I'm not taking anything away from John Collins, but I want him to have one of those games. I want him to have a game where he goes and wins you the game. And we talk about trying to find a way, you know, to win 16 games. You got to have a superstar that can win, you know, 8 or 10 games on his own. You know, that's what a Trae Young can do. Trae Young can win 8 or 10 kinds of games, you know, playoff games. You know, you got to have a guy who can steal you a couple of games. Well, that's, you know, Collins has to be one of those guys that can win you a game or two. And Friday night would be a great place to start, is try to go out there and get it done. Because Embiid's going to be Embiid. He's going to get the calls. He's going to keep your guys, big guys, in foul trouble. But you got to work through some of that stuff. And you got to figure out, you know, how to stop some of their perimeter players. So it's going to be a good series. But we'll learn a lot about, I think, the direction of this series come after Friday night's game. After Friday night's game, I think the, at least sort of the picture of kind of where we're headed becomes clear. Because now if Hawks win on Friday, okay, they can almost put a dagger in Philly on Monday. Philly wins on Friday, okay, home court swings back, and now we know the Hawks are going to have to go on the road and win a game 6 or 7 to, you know, to get this thing, you know, into the next round. That it's you're going to have to try to win a big game in Philadelphia. All right, we're heading to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. Chuck, we're here hanging out in the Key Studios with you on Sports Radio 9 to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
I'm mad. Got to get back. I need some get back. Payback. Payback.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Great Bobby Caldwell is part of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. 404-741-0929, Solomon Buzz Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app site, catch it on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at Jarvis. Head to the top of the hour, JR Sports Brief, as I said, coming up next. A couple quick things here that we'll get into here. A couple of, I guess, anniversaries or whatever. Today is the anniversary of the game where Bobby Valentine put the fake nose and glasses on and all that out there. He got a $5,000 fine and a 2-game suspension after that. And they made that sound like that was such a harsh punishment. Can I tell you, if you throw a manager out and he's supposed to be gone and he comes back like that, again, why even bother giving a guy a $5,000 fine and a 2-game suspension? Why don't you suspend him for a month at that point? And I don't like Bobby Valentine. If we want to do baseball guys we don't like, we did the NBA guys we don't like, I don't like Bobby Valentine. I didn't like Bobby Valentine in Texas, didn't like him for the Mets. I don't like Bobby Valentine. There's not much about the New York Mets I've ever liked. I like that 86 team. I'll fully admit I like Gooden and Strawberry and Howard Johnson and you know, all those guys in 86, I'll admit, I like that team. And I certainly liked them over Boston because, you know, that you talk about like kissing your sister, like you have to pick the Mets or the Red Sox to root for. I loathe the Red Sox. I like some of the players on the Red Sox. I was a big Jim Rice fan, but just would have never wanted to see Boston win a title before, you know, the Indians. And the Indians were dreadful. 86. 86 was the year that Corey Snyder and Joe Carter were on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Tribe Thunder. Go back in time and look at that cover. Go back and Google Sports Illustrated cover, Tribe Thunder, with Joe Carter and Corey Snyder on the cover. And, yeah, they were one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. They were awful. And then Carter, of course, is, you know, traded. he's traded to San Diego. And that was a good trade, though, for the Indians because they did get Sandy Alomar and they got Carlos Baerga, who would be a part of their organization, obviously, in the glory years of the team. But anyway, So screw Bobby Valentine. He should have gotten a lot more than that. He's one of those smug guys that somebody's asking why I don't like. He's just one of those smug guys, and that's it's disrespectful that he did that and came back out. I understand having fun in baseball and things like that, but you know if you get thrown out like that, you're supposed to be thrown out. If he did it, fine, but he'd have gotten a month suspension and like a $500,000 fine if I was the league president at the time. Also today is the anniversary of Larry Bird being drafted by the Celtics. And I think most people forget, you know, Larry Bird, when he got drafted, right, he sat a whole year. The Celtics drafted him in what, his junior year, I guess it was, and he played for Indiana State the following year because that's the year he went to the national title game against Magic Johnson. Indiana State versus Michigan State in the finals, which, you know, everybody points to as that's what really launched college basketball into the mainstream and everything and really got, you know, TV and everything cranked up. I think Al McGuire called that game. I think it was like Al McGuire, Dick Enberg, and I forget. There was one. It might have been Billy Packer. Might have been Al McGuire, Billy Packer, and Dick Enberg because I don't think Billy Packer was with CBS at that time. I think he'd go to CBS a couple of years later. But that's the game that obviously launched college basketball, and obviously it starts Bird versus Magic, the all-time rivalry. But the Celtics drafted Larry. Can you imagine like holding on to the rights of a player for a whole year, drafting a guy like now? I don't even know if is that legal. Can you even do that in sports today? Can you draft a guy a year ahead and hang on to him?
So it was almost as if they drafted somebody foreign, you know, and then they just went back to their country to play. Like,
But the well,
but to answer your question, I don't think you can do that now.
You know, that's a good point, Jarvis. When you talk about the foreign players,
how long
do you hold the rights to those guys? If you draft, like when the Hawks drafted, who was that?
Eddie Tavares.
Yeah, right. And he went to Brazil, I think. Right, and played. Was it Brazil?
Yeah,
he played
somewhere over there. Yeah.
How long do you? I wonder how long you hold the rights to that guy. You draft him. You stash him, right? Stash and dash with this.
Yeah.
But the thing with Larry Bird is he went back to college, though. You know, he didn't. It wasn't like he played professional somewhere. He went back to college. He went back. He went to Indiana State and played one more year at Indiana State.
So he just went straight from college into the NBA and didn't do the draft that following year.
No, because the Celtics had his rights. They That's drafted weird. Him. Like I said, I think it was his junior year, and I don't think it was his sophomore year. I think it was junior year. The Celtics draft him after his junior year, and then he plays his senior year for Indiana State because they were like 35-1 that year or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the Celtics drafted him and held him for a year before he played. Now, did that work out for the Celtics?
Yeah, okay. A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about our 10 most hated NBA guys, and I said, you know, I hated the Celtics at the time because I don't like the Celtics. I was more Lakers guy and I grew up a Cavs fan and everything. But I don't know. It's hard to look back and hate Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Parrish and all those guys. I mean, the one guy I think I can hate I can hate Bill Walton and I can hate Danny Ainge. Those two guys I can hate. But how do you hate Dennis Johnson? How do you hate Larry Bird? Like, I understand as a kid your emotion, but an adult, do you hate? How can you say that I don't like Larry Bird? Like that.
And that's kind of how I was with Michael Jordan. I was just like, I look back and I was like, man, how is it that I didn't enjoy that? I just literally just hated Michael. But that's one thing that I vowed. Like once LeBron, I knew LeBron was a real deal. Like I'm sitting here watching his high school game on ESPN. I was like, I will not do that again. I am going to embrace greatness, man, and acknowledge it and enjoy it because that's watching LeBron's career and just seeing him do what he's done in the NBA it's been really cool.
And I've said the same thing about Tom Brady. I mean, yeah, I'm not rooting for Tom Brady when the Falcons play him, but how do I hate Tom Brady and what he's done in the NFL? I'll never see anything like that in the NFL in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I never will see that again. And so I don't know. And you're right. I mean, age has some things to do with it, but there's a lot of adults that don't like Tom Brady.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, but, I know. One of my homeboys is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, and he refuses to acknowledge that they won the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady.
But, you know, here's the thing.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
You know, say what you will about LeBron and Tom Brady, but those guys haven't really had off-the-field issues. Like, neither one of them has really had, you know, their like one of those bad moments or whatever.
Brady got a little baby mama, you know.
He was with Bridget Moynihan, actress. I mean, and they had.
Well, other than
together.
That, though,
yeah,
every, you know.
Yeah, and by the way,
big deal.
And I hate to say it this way, like he didn't abandon his kid or anything like that. I mean, he still has a relationship with.
Oh, they
child.
Have a one like.
Yeah, they're all
Giselle and what's called it. They actually are cool. Like,
yeah, Bridget Moynihan.
They hang out.
You know,
yeah.
You know who Bridget Moynihan is, right?
She's an actress, right?
Yeah. You remember iRobot with Will Smith?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she's the dark haired doctor with that. That's Bridget Moynihan.
Okay,
so
I got
that,
you.
That's who that is. If you're not familiar, that's Tom Brady's baby mama. But they were together for a while. It wasn't like they had a one night affair.
It was some random situation.
Yeah, I mean they were together for a while, and he's always taking care of the kid. He's always had a relationship with the kid.
Hey, man, much respect to that type of situation. Man.
Well.
I'm glad I never had to deal with that.
I know, but it's, I will say, you and I know this. It's different when you have millions of dollars in the bank. I mean.
Yeah,
When mom and dad both have millions of dollars in the bank,
you can work it out better.
Yeah, you can make all that. I understand. Look, I'm my politics of that stuff aside and things like that. When you have millions of dollars in the bank, you can make those things work out much better. But but LeBron and Tom Brady have not. Derek Jeter the same way. I mean, obviously, it's easy.
I don't see how Derek Jeter's done did what he did. Like, the list and the whole basket thing.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference.
NDAs and all that stuff.
But here's the difference, though, Jarvis. You know, A-Rod was married and all that stuff, doing that stuff. You know, he was, A-Rod was married and messing around.
There you go.
Jeter never got married. What? Look, he's a single millionaire in New York City. What's wrong with dating starlets and all that stuff? That's what you're supposed to do.
But I'm saying he had a man lying, though. Like,
yeah, but I mean.
It was, but if you want to mess with me, here's what you got to do.
But here's the thing. As we know.
I admire that.
He didn't get anybody pregnant and abandon anybody or anything like that. You know, he dated a lot of girls, had a lot of relations. Which, that's what you're supposed to, at 27 years old, hey, and single, a millionaire in New York.
In New
York,
man? Come on, man.
In fact, that may be state law up there. That may be a law in Manhattan that if you're, you know, single, 27, and a multimillionaire, you're supposed to date everybody under the sun for all of it. But, did I root for Jeter when he played, you know, the Braves or my team? No, but... I've never understood hating Derek Jeter or Tom Brady or LeBron James. I've never understood that. Greatness is hard to find, man. When I appreciate greatness, and when I can watch greatness and things that will never happen again, you know, that's the thing about Michael. I wanted to hate Michael, and I hated Michael when he played the Cavs, but gosh dang it, man. I mean, he's the best, you know, him and, you know, he's as good as anybody's ever been on the basketball court. How do you not like watch it and just be in awe of what he does? So, all right, wrapping things up. Love TKO. JR Sports Brief up next. Chuck Ree here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio Into the Game and the Odyssey.com app. And I want to spend some time with you. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.